Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's so good to be with you this morning. And thank you so much for your partnership in the gospel. All the way from when you received me in Ascend as a very confused teenager in 2014, right up to this day. These words of Psalm 16 have grown sweeter and closer to me and so many others around me in Ukraine during the chaos and destruction of the war. Psalm 16 helps us see that we can really experience fullness of joy because God gives us himself on our best and worst days. We can really experience fullness of joy because God gives us himself on our best and worst days. And so let me share with you some testimonies from Ukraine where I've seen Psalm 16 alive and active, that it may both encourage and challenge you in your walk with Jesus today. And so from the video we just watched, the scene of Mark Sergeyev and his church family in Kiev praising God in the post-airstrike rubble is a fitting snapshot of the vibrant impact of the church in Ukraine at the moment. Often in Ukraine, there's a lot of suspicion towards any brand of Christianity which is not Orthodox. However, Christians from all corners, through simple life and ministry, both as frontline military chaplains and hosts to refugees, have been the hands and feet of Jesus in the midst of destruction and devastation. Mark Sergeyev's story is a particularly bright example of the first couple of verses of Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. For Mark and his family, this wasn't the first time they'd found themselves worshipping in the rubble and ashes, declaring God is still most precious in their lives, and nothing in this war can take them from God's presence. They fled Melitopol in the south of Ukraine a few weeks into the war in 2022, when the Russians stormed up from Crimea and captured their church building. Their church leaders, Mark included, were detained and later placed on a watch list of suspected criminals against the Russian Federation. But God miraculously gave them opportunity to escape occupied territory and restart their lives in Kiev. Mark shares the pain of seeing the big cross in the church car park being removed and replaced by a Russian flag. His parents had planted this church in the early 90s, when religious freedom opened up in Ukraine after the collapse of the Soviet Union. God had particularly blessed them with a growing media ministry. Just before the war, they had one of the most well-known worship bands throughout Ukraine, and had just invested in a new media setup so that they could continue to expand and release more Christian content for the Ukrainian church. But they lost all of it. And now it's a Russian government building as Russia continues to occupy Melitopol to this day. And yet, Mark sees God's hand in preserving their lives, bringing them to Kiev, giving them a vision to plant a new church where they can continue to declare that God is Lord of their lives, most precious to them, and even the worst this war can bring can't change that. Life in Kiev is far from straightforward these days. There are persistent power, water, and... Sorry, I'll take this water. There are persistent power, water, and heating outages, along with thousands of drones striking the city every month. Day after day, Mark's family and church and every one of our brothers and sisters living there must turn to God and call out verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. And in the video, Mark's family had just witnessed another miracle after a drone hit their house. They lost all the material possessions, but God preserved their lives. And amidst the tragedy of war, God has given me the privilege to see him actively at work in many people as he continues to expand and build his kingdom in the rubble, debris, and shrapnel created by the war. We see David in verse 3 declare his love for God's people, the saints. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. It can't help but stir my heart to see Mark Zagiev and his church family worshipping God once again after losing everything. Usually when something doesn't go to plan for me, my instinct is to doubt God's goodness to me. But God uses people like Mark's family to encourage and strengthen me to live out verses 1 and 2. Myself, to cling to God as most precious in my life, especially on the days when nothing goes to plan. As David delights in the saints, I can't help but love and delight in the people that God has placed in my life who help me to love God more. In every graveyard in Ukraine, you will see large Ukrainian flags over some of the graves, each signifying a fallen soldier. Where I live, just south of Kiev, our local graveyards are no exception. But one Saturday morning last November, I was there for a different reason. We discovered that morning that our neighbor Oksana had been found dead at home. Now let me introduce you to a very important word in Ukraine. Propiti. Propiti. This seven-letter verb has a very elaborate meaning. It means to take something from home, go and sell it, then take that money to buy alcohol in order to get drunk. So people will eventually do this with all of their possessions. And it's the life of many people in Ukraine. And on this day, I got a very raw experience of the end result of the first half of verse 4. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Oksana had spent her life drowning her issues with alcohol, ruining every relationship in the process, and letting sorrow multiply on sorrow. Many people in our church community had walked alongside her patiently for many years, calling her to repentance in the name of Jesus. Of course, we don't know her heart, but before her death, we painfully never saw visible repentance. She rejected God's hand, being reached out to her countless times, and finally drunk herself to death. Having ruined all the relationships in her life, there was basically no one to prepare the funeral, let alone be present at it. And so being at a funeral with less than 10 people in the icy November wind was one way to experience the real consequences of persistently rejecting and rebelling against God and continuing to live in unrepentant sin. I understand Oksana's experience will seem quite foreign to many of us. God mercifully spares most of us from such devastating earthly consequences of sin. But in my own life, I see sorrows multiplying the more I choose to let my sin grow, trust in myself, and keep God at distance. Whether my ego being hurt that our project isn't growing at the speed I hoped it would, or anxiety creeping in over who would want to marry somebody who lives in an active war zone, my sorrows compound the longer I stay turned away from God. This experience at Oksana's funeral gave me another tangible perspective on the multiplying sorrows of sin, and thereby making the call to turn to God urgently, more urgent, and find the peace that only he can offer. As we move to the second half of verse 4, which says, their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. In wonderful contrast, Oksana's daughter, Natasha, has rejected the destructive path of her mum and heard the call of God to come to repentance and be reconciled to her. She has been taken into foster care with Irina, who herself is a refugee from Donbass. She's been nurtured by the local church and last year was baptized. She already disciples many children younger than her, and her life is a huge encouragement to me. She walks courageously, yes, as an orphan in this world, but adopted as a daughter of King Jesus. And so it probably makes sense now why our church has been involved with rehab ministry for drug and alcohol addicts for over a decade. We have a small home farm in a village nearby where usually guys get to leave the drug-infested back alleys of a city like Kharkiv, get some fresh air, some responsibility on the farm, and spend a lot of time in God's Word. At Clean Soul Clean City, we employ some of the guys as they come out of rehab and start reintegration into the local church and society. One particular guy we now have in our team is Alexander Anatolievich, also known by his satirical nickname, Shustri, which translates as nimble. Why? Well, he's a very intelligent and quick-witted guy, but he now has severely impaired speech and mobility due to years of drug abuse. This means every time he wants to say something, you can tell he knows exactly what he wants to say, but he has a very long delay as you see the sentence visibly loading in his mouth muscles before it bursts out a few seconds later. He walks very clumsily, has frequent fluid leaks from his legs from all of the needles in his previous life. But in rehab, he repented, came to Christ, and God continues to work miracles in him to this day. His life cries out, verses 5 and 6. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Of all the plates and cups on the table in front of each of us, each claiming to offer life and satisfaction, Shustri openly shares he's gone down almost every empty, sinful pathway he could. But he sees how the Lord used one particular drug overdose to stop him in his path of destruction and become his chosen portion and cup, the one most precious to him. God has also freed him from so much bitterness about his mobility and speech impediment. He can refreshingly laugh at himself because he knows he has what is most precious and valuable and what he cannot lose. He has so much simple joy that God has given him a chance to live again after the overdose. He is confident that God holds his lot, that everything that has happened to him in the past brought him to eventually coming to know God. And of course, he is extra eager for the renewal of his body in the new creation as the beautiful inheritance waiting each of us in Christ when God finally puts all things right. And God in his loving kindness has gifted him in so many ways even now. He's distance learning at seminary so he can better teach and disciple others. He's been working with us at Clean Soul Clean City for the past year and loves that he can now be paid to listen to sermons while he cuts the grass at work. And finally, last month, he married Alyona, who herself has come out of addiction and into new life with Christ. It's a privilege for me to now spend lots of time with Shustri. His testimony helps me rejoice in the simple pleasure of knowing God and look forward to the future inheritance awaiting us. Some of you may remember a few years back in the summer, I was given the opportunity to do a small interview at Magnitude. Of course, winging it as usual, I stupidly used the word pyrolysis on stage. Pyrolysis is the name of the thermochemical process we use at Clean Soul Clean City for returning plastic waste to its crude oil components. Pyrolysis should mean nothing to a crowd of Scottish teenagers. But for one Olivia in the audience, it clicked as the buzzword that her dad is always banging on about. And so William got in touch with us and shared his story. Having just licensed some proprietary technology for treating oil sludges from subsea wells, he was entering a new chapter. He told us he planned to adapt his technology for producing electricity from plastic waste and then deploy it in developing contexts, especially those without a vibrant gospel presence. We couldn't believe what we were hearing. And since then, we've built a relationship and hope to test these prototypes in Ukraine in the near future. This has been a remarkable partnership for us, which may indeed greatly accelerate our long-term impact. And there was just no way I could have expected it to come through that interview at magnitude. So as verse 7 says, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also, my heart instructs me. I know I have a big tendency to trust myself, but this experience of God leading us into a growing partnership with William has just helped me to see how much God is working behind the scenes when I'm completely unaware. It reminds me to focus less on how much my efforts will move us forward, but learning to be sensitive to where God's counsel is leading us. For us right now, this is super important, as the future is so uncertain. I mean, of course it's uncertain for everyone in Ukraine right now. Every part of me wishes I could come here today and tell you that our plastic recycling business is all up and running. But from losing teammates to the military, having our heating system freezing and bursting in minus 25, everything in a place like Ukraine, especially during the war, operates sometimes painfully slowly. And this can often drive efficiency and task-orientated Westerners like me absolutely crazy. But in all the uncertainty, we are comforted by verse 8 and the start of verse 9. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. Yes, we can truly rejoice that God remains by our side in the trials we face moving forward. He will give counsel and guide us on how this project and business can best glorify him in Ukraine. And so, as I was saying a bit earlier, plastic and biomass continues to clutter the Ukrainian environment and in many countries without a vibrant gospel presence. Paired with this, the demand for secure and stable internal fuel and electricity supply in Ukraine and many of these countries is driving commodity prices to all-time highs. There is so much potential to employ local people to harness this waste into reliable energy. And very often, they've never considered going to church, but we have an opportunity to start discipling them in the workplace from day one. Where the church in the majority world is very often constrained by limited funding, we dream of funneling business profits into multiplying vibrant communities of Jesus followers among the least reached. But even with all that being so, I'm learning to release the emphasis on my own efforts and learn to be sensitive to what God may be doing behind the scenes. Every day I'm also learning to let God comfort me with his unshakable presence in a country which is always sitting on the brink. Taras has also come through rehab from a past life of addiction and crime into new life in Christ. As one raised and made alive with Christ, he enjoys and embraces the end of verse 9 and start of verse 10, which say, my flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to the grave or let your Holy One see corruption. One day in December, a couple of years back, I walked out of my office into the workshop and I saw something unusual. Taras was hunched inside some partially constructed conical vessel. I was thinking, what on earth is this guy doing? He was absolutely fuming with some mistakes that some of his welding students had made. Coming out of rehab, he started to work with us at just the right moment. We were about to build a 400 square meter extension to our facility, and that meant a lot of welding. And you bet Taras seized that opportunity to learn a new trade. 18 months later, and Taras is just getting comfortable with his new role, and suddenly in the space of a month, his welding mentor retires and a couple of welding students turn up looking for work experience. Taras is now lead welder and mentor for the new guys, but he's not ready for it. He has a heavy workload and doesn't have time to be squeezing himself into anything because his students have messed up once again. But after chatting this episode through with him, he began to see the bigger picture of his calling. He began to see he was entering a new phase. And so remember, someone like Taras has come from a background where he was never given credit or responsibility. He's always the one who was to be forgotten and told that his life would never amount to anything. But now he starts seeing that he does have something of value, and these students are desperate for him to share his expertise. And when he was learning, he was shown patience, and we saw him as he was the things clicking in his mind that it was now his turn to show patience to the new guys. He had been shepherded, and now he was the one who would be shepherding the next generation. And so with Taras, we have really seen that God can make beauty out of what society has thrown out as trash. And so Taras's life really declares the wonders of verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you will preserve us. We thank you that you are a refuge in all of the circumstances that we face. Thank you for protecting us, so many of your children in Ukraine, and enabling them to shine your light in so many dark places, both near and far from the conflict. Thank you for the amount of opportunities there are to declare that you are most precious to us, and that nothing that happens in this war can separate us from you or from your love. I pray for every person here today, that they will be comforted and encouraged by how great you are, what you are doing in near and far away lands. That you will help each one of us to more instinctively turn to you, to find refuge in you, to let all of the distractions that sit on the plates in front of us that offer life and satisfaction, Lord, help us to choose you as our chosen portion and cup, the only one who can satisfy and lead us to fullness of joy. Lord, thank you for your word, that we have these glorious words that David wrote so long ago that are just as relevant today. Please lead us. Please help us to do all that we do only to bring you glory and not for the empty praise of man. In your powerful name, Lord, we pray. Amen.